Turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. We're looking at 30 through 31 on the first page, and then chapter 32 on the second, on the back of it. Because a whole generation of Israel died in 40 years in the wilderness because of their sin, Moses needed to rewrite and reteach the commandments of God. And so that's what the book of Deuteronomy is all about. The word comes from the Greek language, not the Hebrew. And it is the first part of it, deuteros, means the second. And nomos, the last part of it, means the law. So it's the second giving of the law. And it's because of the new generation that needed to learn these things that had not had them taught all their lives as the first generation had. Before they enter the land, this needs to be gone over again with them and remind them of the blessings and the cursings and the provision of God if they do what is right, and the opportunity to repent and turn back to God that God has given them. So we saw last that Israel would pass through the valley between the two mountains, Gizurim and Ebal. There would be six leaders of the 12 tribes, two groups of six. One group of six would be on one mountain, another group of six would be on the other mountain. And first of all, from Gerizim, they would bless the children of Israel as they came into the valley, quote the scriptures to them of the blessings of the Lord. And then the other mountain, Ebal, there would be curses. If you look at chapter 27 for a moment, verse 1 through 8. Verse 9, Moses and the priests and Levites spake all unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord. And he goes all the way down through verse number 26, pronouncing these curses that would take place. They loudly proclaim these things unto the people of Israel. And they have a call to repent. And Moses made them aware that if they disobeyed, they would suffer the chastening of God. And if they repented and turned away from their sin and returned to God, they would have future blessings promised to them. They could be restored. Aren't you glad God allows us to seek forgiveness? Did you ever think about the fact that Adam and Eve in the garden and the angels before them only had one choice? The angels chose to follow Satan or follow the Lord. There were no repentances or more opportunities. Adam and Eve sinned, and they were forgiven because of God's showing them how to find forgiveness through the animal sacrifice and such. But when they made that choice to disobey God, he put them out of the Garden of Eden, and they basically lost living life completely except through eternal life and being able to go to heaven and have life. All of those folks died, and their spirits went to paradise, and they've been waiting there until Christ died and was buried and rose again from the dead. And then all those believing saints who were kept in paradise until that point ascended back into heaven with the Lord when he was resurrected. And all those who did not know the Lord died and went to hell, and they're still there. So this God has given us so many opportunities to find forgiveness and opportunity to start over. And we still have the choices to obey or disobey. The Lord has blessed us in this sense. Turn over to the book of Jeremiah with me, chapter 11. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 11. Now, verse 1 of chapter 1 tells us that Jeremiah lived in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. It was a land of the priests. And the word came unto him the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And he pronounced the problems for Israel. In chapter 11, he reads the covenant. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I command your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I'll be your God, that I may perform the oath which I sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I, And so be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early, protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not. Verse 9, Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. Verse 11, Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I bring an evil upon them. And in verse 12, Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto their gods, unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of thy cities were gods of Judah, according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have ye set up altars, so that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them. So God called heaven and earth against them, even in still in Jeremiah's day. He is pronouncing judgment upon them. Now this Anathoth was 3 miles from Jerusalem, and that was the home of Jeremiah the prophet. And this was the area that Abathar the priest lived, and it was a priestly city. And God pronounced this judgment to the people on Israel for their sin. In chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, Moses tells them he is now 120 years old. And he knows that he will not be allowed to cross over into the promised land across Jordan. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. He said to them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So he pronounces to them in verse number 6, Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now this is the same admonition that God gives to Joshua when he takes Moses' place twice in the book of Joshua. Verse 7, Moses called Joshua and said unto him in sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So numerous times this is repeated. Moses repeats it to Joshua, and then when the book of Joshua takes place, God calls Joshua to take Moses' place and gives him twice this command again to be strong and of a good courage in order to lead them and overtake. Now, Moses had told them seriousness of the decisions was life or death unto them. And that choice is still today. John 3:36. Turn there with me in the Gospel of John. Keep your bookmark there. We'll come right back. Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. All men who are not saved are already under the wrath and condemnatory judgment of God for their sin nature. But for us who believe, God has given us everlasting life. In verse 18, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that's the choice for us, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or to reject him as the Jewish nation did as a whole and suffer the judgment of damnation. In the New Testament, the Bible proclaims the same of Jesus as it did in the Old Testament of God, that he is the rock, that God's perfections are greatness, justice, truth, faithfulness, and righteousness, and God is the rock. God is stable, strong, unchanging, faithful, and enduring. And the New Testament proclaims for us that Christ is the rock that we are built upon. He's the foundation stone. In 1 Corinthians 10, we looked at that a couple of times in our study, where they learned that Jesus was the rock from which they drank water from in the Old Testament. When Moses struck the rock with the rod and it broke and gave water that fed the nation of Israel and gave them life. And that was a type of Christ. And over it tells us that he is our foundation and we are dependent upon him, and he can bless us if we put our faith in him. Now this is, Moses issues this charge to Joshua, and he, in chapter 31, verse 6 and 7, Moses rehearses the promise of God to deliver the nations into their hands. And the people are not strangers to Joshua. He's been their general. He led in the battles that they fought. And he was one of the two faithful spies out of the 12 that went into the land. Only two came back positive, believing God, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And so the people knew him very well, that he would become their leader when Moses passed on. Chapter 31 of Deuteronomy and verse 8 through 18. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So that comes up at the end of the year, their calendar year. They have the Feast of Tabernacles every 7 years. Read this law. You got me? Okay. And so Moses tells them to do this every 7 years. So this is just like all these feasts that they have to observe. Now they got something new added to one of them. When all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known any time, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, And this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and will hide my face from them. And they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. So if you turn over to chapter 32, this is the song in chapter 32 that God gave Moses to write, so the people would be reminded wherever they went, they sing this song and remember the goodness of God and the forgiveness of God and the grace of God and how he had made a covenant with them, and they were to remember the covenant. Now God tells Moses his time is near, and he's to write this song as God gives it to him. God tells Moses to have the people put the words of the covenant that he has written to them, the law and the covenant, they're to put those words inside the Ark of the Covenant. So the top of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat, where the cherubims face each other that are in gold. And that's where they offered the sacrifice. But when they remove that, they can get inside the ark, and they put in there the commandments of God. And that way the people would see the ark. They were to know that the commandments of God were there. They were to remember them and not to fail the Lord. And God told Moses to gather the leaders and call heaven and earth as a witness against them. Look at chapter 31, verse 26 through 30. Take this book of the law and put it inside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion, thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. God has given us many warnings about having his blessings if we obey him, his provision if we obey him, and the chastening of God if we disobey him. God is perfect, and he is the rock that his word is built upon. Verse 1 through 4 of this song gives the character of God, and the name of God is exalted. His greatness is proclaimed. Everything in the creation obeys God, except his people. Everything in creation. Water does what it's supposed to do. The heavens do what they're supposed to. The oceans do what they're supposed to. The animals do what they're supposed to. But mankind disobeys God. We're to trust God and trust his word and honor his word. Back in Exodus 15, if you note there on the back page under chapter 32, in Exodus 15, there's another song that Moses wrote when they had gotten the victory over Egypt. And it magnifies the attributes of God. He proclaims God's perfection, his greatness, his justice, his truth, his faithfulness and righteousness, and declares that God is the rock. And God is stable, strong, unchanging, faithful, enduring. And then, as I shared with you in the New Testament, Christ is listed in that way. That he's the rock that we build upon. He's the foundation of our salvation. He's the stone that went with Israel, who still gives life by faith in him. In Romans 9, verse 32,
Romans 9:32 and 33 says, "Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So Christ is the builder stone that they set at naught. They did not recognize. And he's the stumbling block to people who reject him and fall away from God over not recognizing Christ as the Messiah and Lord. And Israel continued to have those kind of failures throughout their career. Now, at the beginning of the song, Moses focused on the greatness of God. For God is above all others, especially above the works of men's hands, which are how they make idols. The goodness of God to his people, we expect the unbelievers to be twisted and corrupt and not God's people. But he reminds them to remember that God has done for them all these good things, and they're not to forget about them. They're to remember them and renew them. Moses used the image of the eagles to describe God's tenderness toward them. And he shares that God's maturity and responsibility for his people is required. It's difficult for us to grow to maturity. It's difficult for us to take on the responsibilities that we should in the service of God. But it's no different than a young eaglet being pushed out of the nest and learning how to fly, because the mother and father will protect them, and God has protected us as he pushes us out of the nest to learn to do what he would have us to do. Moses warned back in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy that God is jealous, and he reveals it in the story of Hosea, who had a wife of unfaithfulness. And Israel as a nation had been unfaithful to God. They had committed spiritual fornication and spiritual adultery in turning away from God to other gods. He said to them in chapter 8, he said, "When you've eaten and are full and you built good homes and your herds and flocks have multiplied and your heart is lifted up, you'll forget God." He said, "Beware when that day comes." And we see a lot of people that let human pride cause them to think they got their life by the tail and they're going to live it to the fullest, and they don't need to go to church all the time. They don't need to read their Bible. They don't need to worship God. They got this thing now. And that's the same way Israel was when they got prosperous. God help us to learn from Israel's failures and mistakes so that we don't make the same ones ourselves. We will always be dependent upon God, and we should pray daily and thank God for the provisions that we have and serve him understanding that we constantly need his help to do what he would have us to do. Now, Moses prayed for Israel. He made intercession. He told God, "If you're going to kill all them and destroy the nation, then take my name out of your book too." And God spared them for Moses' intercession. In Hebrews 7:24 through 26, the Bible says, "Christ is our eternal high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us." Because he is eternal, he can continue to make intercession for us, unlike a human high priest who served only till he died, and then his son would take his place. But because they were constantly being replaced, they could not have that continuity of intercession for God that Jesus can have. Israel's God is the one true Almighty who can and will deliver his people and punish their enemies. All the way up, when we read through Deuteronomy, we find he's even making references to things that are going to be in the future, where we see Armageddon and those kind of things happening in the tribulation period, that God will deal with Israel in those days. And those things have not come to pass yet. And that eternal king out of David's family has not yet gone on the throne. So God delivered Israel from Babylon, and the king of Persia defeated Babylon and freed the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. And then Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the holy place of the temple, reset up the priesthood, and build a wall around the city of Jerusalem. God moved foreign kings to do that for Israel. And God can establish the church today, and we are his witnesses. And we have been promised deliverance in the future. The Bible says in Galatians 1:4, Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. There's coming a time where he will deliver us. And Israel in Deuteronomy teaches us to remember. They were to remember the law of God. We're to remember the word of God. We're to remember the New Testament primarily. But we learn by studying from the Old Testament as well. Remember the covenant that God made with them. And they were to remember that covenant and to repeat it and read again the word of God every 7 years. He reminded them of their past, how he delivered them from slavery when they were in Egypt. He delivered them from the sins of their past. He delivered them from divine judgment. You remember the story of Miriam, the sister of Moses, how God struck her with leprosy because she made, I guess you'd say, gossipy remarks about Moses' wife. And she was struck with leprosy as a result of it, but Moses prayed for his sister and God healed her. There's a great deliverance that God made for Israel over and over again, and then he supplied all their needs. And God's still doing that for the church of today, the New Testament church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things are those? Food, clothing, place to live. Those are things the Gentiles seek after to be elevated in, to have prosperity. But if we trust God and seek his kingdom first, then he'll supply those things for us. And we won't have to worry about that. Many of us have learned in a lifetime, God blesses his people and supplies their needs. He never promised to make us the richest of people or to not have any troubles or health problems or anything like that. And many times those things God uses to draw us closer to him as we ought to be. But God can supply our needs so that we do not have to look to the world or anything other for that need to be met, but unto God who giveth all to those who love him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here. Thank you for those who are watching by live streaming. We know this is a busy time of the year. There's a lot of sickness going around. It gets dark quicker. And it causes a lot of folks to need to stay home and maybe watch it on live streaming. We understand that. Father, we've had some families that have had deaths recently. We've had families who've got people in the hospitals and sick. We've got families with family members who've got cancer. Father, we look to you for your help, your strength, your healing, your power. You're able, O Lord. And we are unworthy as we can be, but we confess our sins and call upon you to cleanse us and draw us close to yourself and meet our needs. You said of Israel, if they committed sin before they entered the spiritual camp in the evening, they were to wash themselves, and when the sun went down, they could return to the camp. So, Father, the sun's been down a long time. Cleanse us of our iniquities and sins, and help us to serve you and please you and have the power of God. Bless this weekend in the evangelist preaching, the messages, the services. Help us in these, we pray. And bless these folks for coming out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.